Hi, my name is Bobby Franks. I'm 14 years old and live in Chicago, Illinois. It's May 21st, and today at school, all the kids were talking about the new tennis racket that is out in stores. It's so beautiful. I love tennis, and I can't wait for my birthday because that's what I'm asking for. It's 5 o'clock, and I just finished playing tennis with my buddies from school. Now I'm walking home for dinner. I'm so hungry. Oh, look, it's my cousin Richard. Hi, Richard. Oh, and it's his boyfriend Nathan. He's so weird. Apparently Nathan is super smart and has an IQ of over 200. And he's already in law school. He's only 19. I heard he likes birds and to go bird watching. He's also wicked socially awkward. He's nothing like my cousin Richard. Richard is also super smart, but my dad told me he's not doing so well now that he's away from college. He started drinking and gambling. I can't believe it. All my girlfriends at school say he's so attractive. Joke's on them because he has a boyfriend. Apparently they started dating almost right after they met. Nathan is obsessed with Richard, but Richard says he just likes him because he's a loyal friend and does stupid things with him. He told me that they commit acts of theft, vandalism, and arson. It's so crazy how much he's changed since he's been away at college. One time while he was home, I heard them planning what they called the perfect crime. This is what they planned. 1. Rent a car under a different name. 2. Find a wealthy victim, preferably a boy because girls are too closely watched. 3. Kill him in the car with a chisel. 4. Dump the body in a culvert. I know they do crazy stuff, but never could they commit murder. That's insane. They also said they were going to ask for a ransom from the family of $10,000. They want the money to be thrown from a train. Oh look, Richard has that new tennis racket, and he says he'll drive me home. Perfect. Nathan is sitting in the back seat, and I got into the passenger seat. The racket is so cool. As we start going down the street, Nathan pulls me into the back, and that's the last thing I remember. I awoke floating above my dead body that was in a drain pipe. It was very dark, but I knew exactly where I was. It was the spot that Nathan liked to come bird watching. I'm not sure how I knew that, but I feel like I have a lot more knowledge now. I can see the Willis Knight rented car peeling out of the parking lot. I wanted them to stop, but I know they can't hear me. I'm a ghost. I can't believe my own cousin and his boyfriend killed me. I can see my dead body below me. There's a cloth shoved down my throat, and there are many gashes to my head. I get a flashback of Nathan hitting me in the head with a chisel, and a shiver shoots down my spine. I remember them stopping and throwing my clothes out of the car. Then they stopped for dinner. They dumped hydrochloric acid on my face and my private parts. I don't even look the same. I suddenly appear in my home. At the same time, my mother gets a call, saying that I've been kidnapped. The two lovers thought they were in the clear, but little did they know, my body was discovered the next morning. They left my feet sticking out of the end of the drain pipe. Near the culvert, the police found a pair of glasses that could be traced back to Nathan. When he was confronted by the police, he told them that he must have dropped the glasses one day while birdwatching. Even though that seems like a logical explanation, they asked where he was that day. He told them he was with Richard, driving around. But later, the police found out that his car was at home, getting work done. On May 31st, my cousin and his boyfriend confessed just 10 days after my murder. Richard said they only killed me for the thrill of the experience. My murder made headlines everywhere. The public was completely against my murderers. It was almost certain my cousin and Nathan were going to be sent to death by death penalty. Richard's other uncle was so worried that he was going to be killed that he hired famous defense attorney Clarence Darrow. On July 21st, 1924, the trial began. Darrow had them plead guilty, so it would go straight to a sentencing trial. Darrow believed it would be harder for one person to decide the fate of the boys than 12 people on a jury. The boys' lives rested in the hands of Judge John R. Caverly. There were over 80 witnesses. On August 22nd, Darrow gave his final summation. It was almost 2 hours long and is considered one of his best speeches. On September 19th, Judge Caverly sentenced the boys to prison for 99 years for my kidnapping and a life sentence for my murder. He also recommended they never be eligible for parole. 12 years later, on January 28, 1936, my cousin Richard was attacked and killed in the shower by a cellmate. He was slashed over 50 times. While in prison, Nathan wrote an autobiography called Life Plus 99 Years. After 33 years, he was let go on parole in March of 1958. Once free, he moved to Puerto Rico and got married. On August 30th, 1971, Nathan died from a heart attack. Finally, after 47 years, my murderers got what they deserve. And that's the story of how my cousin and his boyfriend brutally murdered me for the thrill of it.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.